You know, we wanted to just take a little bit of your time and talk about your life and the work that you've done. To start, can you talk about, you know, you've been on this earth for 90 years and you've seen so much in your life. Can you talk about the early instances that drove you to do the work that you do? You know, maybe there was a certain moment or a point when you made that decision to become a peace builder. I think you said yesterday it was always within you, but was there a moment that, you know, really drove you to study and to do the work that you do?
Now, ये पूछ रहे हैं कि आप कुछ early instances, early events बता सकते हैं that drove you to do the peace work that you are doing.
I can say that I was a born pacifist. I'm peace lover by my nature, according to my nature. So peace is interwoven in my heart. Then after I became a seeker of truth. So I studied a lot. I studied different religions. And then I found the truth, I found that Islam is the truth with the capital T. This is my story in short.
Can you talk about some of the most memorable moments in your life where you were doing this work and the peace building work? Are there things that stick out for you?
My story is very, what you call, eventful life. My history was eventful life. But I will say, in short, that when I reached the mature age, I found that the majority of Muslims were involved in violence. I was born in British period in India. So, some were actively involved and some were passively involved. So, this was the shock for me, intellectual shock. I wanted to know whether this is Islam. Then after a long study, I discovered that Islam is a peaceful religion. This was Muslims are doing out of reaction and not out of following. This was my first experience of my life.
I know that in 1992, you did this march after the mosque was destroyed. Can you talk about what that was like and that decision that you made and to respond the way that you did and what that march was like for you going throughout the country in India?
After the Babri demolition, there was anger among Muslims. All the Muslim community was angry. So, due to this, there were some riots between Hindus and Muslims, basically in Maharashtra. So, I organized a yatra. In this yatra, I participated as a Muslim, and others are non-Muslim. So, we traveled in different states of Maharashtra. I call it Shanti Yatra, meaning peace march. So, one incident I will narrate. We reached in a place, there was common riots. And when we reached over there, there was smoke, everybody smoke. Smoke of riot. So, there was no place to sit, meaning to organize a meeting by putting chair and table. Everywhere there are ruins. So I stand up on a wall that was also burned in the riot. So I said in Urdu, at that time I was weeping, crying. I said that ہم یہاں اس لیے آئے ہیں تاکہ جس آگ کو گورنمنٹ کا فائر بریگیڈ نہ بجھا سکے اس کو ہم اپنے آنسو سے بجھا لیں. آئی ایم سیئنگ دس آئی ایم ریڈنگ دیر آر تھاؤزنڈ اینڈ تھاؤزنڈ پیپل لسننگ مائی وائس سو دیر واز سی چینج یعنی سڈنلی دیر واز سی چینج آفٹر لسننگ مائی دیز ورڈس آئی واز اسپیکنگ ویپنگ کہ ہم یہاں اس لیے آئے ہیں تاکہ جس آگ کو گورنمنٹ کا فائر بریگیڈ نہ بجھا سکا اس کو اپنے آنسو سے بجھا لیں.
That we've come to extinguish the fire which the government's fire brigade could not extinguish with our tears.
After this yatra, there was no riot. Harmony was established between the two communities.
Thank you for that. I know this is a little bit different direction, but you said you published 100 books in your life. So can you talk about some of the most important themes for you as a scholar and an intellectual, and maybe recommend some of the books for people to read who might read this?
The common theme between all my books is one. When I studied history, I found that in every age, people were fighting. In every age. Why? Because they put a wrong target to establish justice. People wanted to establish justice. And they wanted to finish the political corruption. So they began fighting against authority, against the supposed criminals. But they never succeeded to establish peace and corruption-free government. And from Aristotle to Gandhi. So, what was the reason behind this failure? The reason was that these people failed to know that our life is governed by law of nature. No philosopher can control our life. It is law of nature. But according to the law of nature, man is free. Everyone is born free. So when you are free, you are also free to misuse your freedom. So it is misuse of freedom that creates problem. All the corruptions are injustice. It means that idealism cannot be achieved. It is impossible to establish ideal system, ideal justice. By first discovery. So, I always insist that don't adopt idealism as your target, but be pragmatist. Adopt pragmatism. Because in this world, only pragmatism is possible, not idealism. This is just half my book.
Are there some important books that you want to recommend?
It is difficult for author. Author cannot.
Can I recommend?
For author, every book is important. Just like a father. If there are some children of a father, and you ask which one is better, you say all my children are good for me.
So maybe we'll put a link to a bunch of books. So I think at this conference, they're talking a lot about this, of course, peace building and this theme of jihad. I thought that, and of course this is a term that's misunderstood in Western communities generally, but you write that jihad means struggle, to struggle one's utmost. It must be appreciated at the outset that the word is used for nonviolent struggle as opposed to violent struggle. Can you talk about how you understand jihad to be a nonviolent term?
This is the law of nature. According to the law of nature, only peaceful struggle can reach to an end. Violent struggle will not work. For example, First World War, Second World War, and was fought for some end, some purpose, but they failed. They were able to achieve any positive thing from First War or Second War. Now, in later period, USA started a war against Iraq, but it failed. So, the whole history tells us that you cannot find anything through violence. And this is mentioned in the hadith in these words. In the law, yoti al-rif, mala yoti al-rif. God grants to peace what he does not grant to violence. This is law of nature. So what happened in the history was due to law of nature.
Sir, can you explain jihad as non-violence?
Jihad means simply struggle. In a non-violent struggle. Jihad is not war. Literally, jihad is not war. For war, there is another word. This is qatal. The people are confused between jihad and qatal. In Islam, qatal is permitted, but only for states and only at the time of attack. If there is attack, then a state is allowed to go to war. But in Islam, first of all, you have to banish the problem. First of all. And as far as the jihad, the word of jihad is concerned, jihad literally means peaceful struggle. That is basically for dawah work. There is a verse in the Quran, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جَهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Do great jihad with the help of the Quran. The Quran is our sword. Quran is our gun. How can fight with the Quran? That is ideological jihad. So this Quranic verse tells us that jihad means ideological jihad.
We want to bring it up to today. Can you talk about some of the work in India that you're still involved in your peace building work?
My first concern is to remove a wrong obsession. Generally, people take political parties, that is our friend parties, the enemy parties. It is a general tendency. And in India, Muslims believe that some parties are anti-Muslim parties, some parties are pro-Muslim parties. I want to remove this obsession. In parties, there is no friend, no foe, no enemy and no friend. So, Muslims are obsessed with this notion. Due to this obsession, they always waste their votes. They always vote native voting and against someone. This is not politics. So I say, especially to our Muslim brothers, that you are wasting your vote. Don't take that this party is pro-party or this party is anti-party. Every party is political party. This is my first principle. And I think this is the basic.
Only a couple more questions. I wanted to ask, yesterday you came to the hackathon downstairs, and part of that is like coming up with ideas to make scholars relevant to the youth. But you seem to be very relevant to people of all ages through your publishing. I'm very interested in how you decided to publish a magazine and children's books and to really translate your ideas for all ages and for all people.
Because youth are energetic people. Old men are exhausted people. Old men cannot do anything. But youth can do. So future is in the hand of youth, not in the old. This is the basic.
Can you talk about the meaning of this award to you from Sheikh Bin Baya and the meaning of having it presented to you by this, you know, internet, this global group of scholars?
I don't know anything. What is that award? I don't know anything. Only other people can do. it was not after my consultation. They never consulted with me, so I don't know.
Yeah, but okay, so what does it mean to have it be from Sheikh Bembeya? You know, your respect for Sheikh Bembeya.
He's a good person. Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya is a really a peace lover person. He's a great scholar, and also he is engaged in peace building process. So I think that he's doing very good job, and I hope that he will solve the problem that presently we are facing. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, final question is, can you give us some spiritual advice on how to live our lives as peace builders?
It's a very good question. Everyone has a problem that we are living in a world where every day there are some unwanted situation, unwanted experience. So generally people become negative. This problem is between house and husband or wife, between member of society, between nations. Because this world is not a smooth world. There are challenges, there are competition, there are fighting, there are self-interest. So all these things create unwanted situation. The people generally become negative. So this is the great problem. Myself also was facing this problem. Then I discovered that what is happening is not due to some criminals, some guilty persons. It is due to law of nature. What I am facing, apparently it comes from someone. But in reality, it is the result of law of nature. Because Creator has given freedom to everyone. So how you can save yourself from misuse of freedom? Then I discovered that the only formula of sabr is applicable. In the Quran, there are so many verses that advocate keep patience, keep patience, keep patience. So why this? Why God Almighty says keep patience? Because if you are provoked, then you will hamper your spiritual development. So if you want to develop your personality, if you want to develop your mind, then you have to adopt this formula. Okay. Ignore the problem. Avail the opportunity. I think Bernard Shaw has said very rightly that the most uneducated person is one who has nothing to forget. You have to forget. You have to keep patience. This is the only formula by which you can save your spirituality.
So what helps patience, like Quran and dhikr, or other specific dhikrs that you make? Or
No, that's not.
No.
It is a formula of intellectual development. You have to develop your mind. Then your mind will keep patience. If patience did not come from heart, it is phenomena of mind. So everything depends upon intellectual development. Those people who are intellectually awakened, they can keep patience.
You had said once that patience is accepting God's creation plan. So you're doing patience for God.
Yes. Must be Rabbik. For the sake of God. For the sake of God, you mean? By accepting the creation plan of God. For the sake of God means keep patient by accepting the creation plan of God. God ke kisi plan ko accept karo. Yehi sabr. Sabr nahi karoge to usko accept nahi kar sakoge.
practicing patience means to accept God's creation plan.
Thank you, Dr. Mohair. So nice to meet you.
Thank you.